Hello, folks, and welcome to the Smart Hour. Thank you for tuning in today. This is your host, Paul Abramson, editor of creationism.org. It is Tuesday, June 19th, 2007. There's a blog that I moderate as part of the some of the fun things I get to do, and that is www.cscblogs.com, cscblogs.com. I'll spell that phonetically. CSC stands for Creation Science Evangelism, so it's cscblogs.com. And I had told them a couple weeks ago that I had posted a video online, and then also, of course, I had written out to other people, creationists and friends and family and things like that. I told them about the video and made an MP3 file, made that available and things. And then, what I decided to do is today's program is going to be different than most programs. And usually, now Smart Hour, S-M-A-R-T, stands for Science, Mathematics, and Revealed Truth. Pretty good name, huh? Smart Hour. And then people listen and they go, you know, but the name of the program is Smart Hour, but I heard that guy and I beg to differ. Anyway, so that can happen. So, and on this program, this is broadcast on truthradio.com or truthradio.info. That's T-R-U-T-H-R-A-D-I-O, truthradio.com or truthradio.info. MP3 files are made available later in the archive, so I know there's a certain number of people who get the MP3 files and listen to them later. Good. I hope you glean some good things from them. Tomorrow's program, I also want to make a special program. It's going to be a unique program that I know something about, completely separate from the creation evolution debate, but it's an important topic that we have not discussed yet since I've been doing this program, which I think started at the beginning of February, as I recall, of this year, started doing this program. And tomorrow what we're going to talk about is EMPs. EMP, electromagnetic pulse. And I'll just give you the brief version of that, then I'm going to go into today's program. If we go back to Pearl Harbor, December 6th, 1941, there were people on December 5th, 1941, who said that, wait a minute, do I have the Japanese date, December 7th? I lived in Japan for 5 years, just a moment here. And to the Japanese, it was a day, it's one day off, I'm sorry, December 7th, 1941. You understand the international dateline is in the Pacific? That's my excuse, honest. Okay, so December 7th, 1941. So sometimes I get one day off there. Okay, and so Pearl Harbor happened that day. There were people arguing up until that time. Well, there's several things. Part of it was racist, but they believed that there's no way Japanese could be successful in a big war or anything like that. And again, part of that was a racist argument and things like that. But the Pacific Ocean was too huge, too big. Who could believe that you could actually have war in an ocean as big as the Pacific? It was just too huge. It was just inconceivable to many people. Well, Pearl Harbor in a day changed that. Okay. All during the Cold War, so then, of course, the U.S. immediately falls into war with Japan, against Japan, Germany, and Italy, the Axis powers at the time. And the war is over in June of 1945. Germany is defeated. It was actually May, the infrastructure in Germany was crumbling, but it wasn't official until early June that Hitler killed himself, and then a few days later that Germany then officially surrendered in June of 45. Many people think that the atom bomb dropped in Hiroshima, that was partially racial. It wasn't. The atom bomb did not exist, actually, until July of 45. The first one was tested. They had been in a race running, not knowing if the Germans were also creating the atom bomb. That's a separate thing. I won't get into that. But I think it was July 16th of 1945 was when the first atom bomb was tested, and it worked. And so then early in August, they bombed Hiroshima, and then 3 days later, Nagasaki. I believe it would have been used in Japan. There wasn't anything racial about the decision at all. It was win the war, end this conflict, and forcing the other side to surrender. Then the U.S. and Soviet Union, soon thereafter, within a few years, fell into the Cold War. And the United States had the atom bomb. Within a few years, the Russians had the atom bomb. The United States had the hydrogen bomb. Within a few years after that, the Russians had the hydrogen bomb. The way to deliver these was through airplanes, long-range bombers, okay? But then Sputnik gets launched. I'm giving a brief history here because I want to show an acceleration of danger. This relates to tomorrow's program. So you had long-range bombers that could potentially deliver missiles within hours after the president of a country decides to attack the other side. You could have nuclear weapons going off on the other continent. But then, after Sputnik, October 1957, you suddenly had the prospect of missiles, a missile gap, and the idea that one side could launch missiles against the other side, and in perhaps a half an hour or less, you could have then missiles hit the other side. This accelerated what was the Cold War, accelerated the danger, and again, America looked back, looked back to Pearl Harbor. Because Pearl Harbor was like, oh no, we don't want to get caught by surprise. It was in the back of people's minds, okay? Not always spoken, but in the back of people's minds. Similarly, the stock market crash in 1929, that's still something that in the back of people's minds, people worry about with the stock market because they've seen it before. Oh no, we don't want a stock market crash. It's kind of in the back of people's minds. So the Great Depression, the bank failures, there were people keeping, money in their mattresses even up to the 1960s. Well, maybe even after that, but I mean, it was kind of a joke, but, among certain people, but it was like the banks were not trusted after the 1930s, the bank crashes that, runs on the banks, the stuff that happened back in the 1930s. So pivotal events affect people, they can affect entire cultures. Well, the nuclear race and the danger has continued to get worse. America right now is kind of dozing that, oh, you know, the Cold War's over, the danger is over, and things like that. That's not the case, and that's what I want to discuss tomorrow. Again, it is a little off-topic from the creation-evolution debate, but it is a danger. And it's a danger people aren't talking about. It's not in the left-wing media. They're not discussing. I know something about it because I've studied, I've read things about it. And so tomorrow that's what we're going to talk about, electromagnetic pulse. The idea that a single nuclear warhead launched from a fake container ship, say approaching America but still 100 miles out, so still in international waters, no one's even looking at it yet because it's so far away, but it's a fake container ship, and there is evidence that Iran has been testing doing that. And then it looks like a container ship, but it's actually a missile launcher. And then, say, 100 miles away from the U.S., it launches a single nuclear warhead high into the atmosphere and then detonates, sending an electromagnetic pulse that could knock out all kinds of electronic circuits across the eastern seaboard and actually into the Midwest of the United States. Okay, I know that may sound crazy to you. It was discovered in 1962, the Compton effect, and there was nuclear testing in the atmosphere, and they discovered that streetlights were knocked out in Hawaii, 800 miles away, and the navigational equipment in Australia, 1,400 miles away, was knocked out. And this was completely by surprise. Well, one of the things we learned in Hurricane Katrina, I'm almost done with this, one of the things we learned in Hurricane Katrina is you could have a gas station filled with gas, ready to pump gas. It's full of gas. But if you have no electricity, you got nothing. You got no way to put it in the cars. If the electricity grid and the cell towers and actually electronic ignitions in cars, if those things get knocked out, America is over. In one nuclear blast. Okay? This technology exists today. But our media has turned against us, so they are not telling us they don't care, they're just not worried about this danger. They're more interested in teenagers having weird sex and encouraging that kind of stuff and in all kinds of other weird perversions is what they think is most important. And so that's what they're focusing on. And so the real news wait a minute, there is a new danger, and it continues to get a little bit worse, but they're not even discussing it. And I'm not telling people they should go out and get generators. We don't want to go into like Y2K mode. But it is a reasonable amount of insurance is a good idea. For example, I've never had a car accident, at least not a moving violation car accident, never had one. But I have car insurance. It doesn't mean I'm expecting to have an accident or want to. But that's a reasonable precaution, is to get automobile insurance, right? So anyway, we need, you know, what are the reasonable precautions to prepare for this? So that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, okay? It's a big topic. Today, here's what we're going to talk about today. Judicial review. Okay, here's the idea of judicial review. Back in 1803, Marbury versus Madison was a famous court case in which a man who had been denied a judgeship, the papers were supposed to be delivered just before Jefferson took office in 1801. He didn't get his papers, or the papers weren't delivered. He didn't get his judgeship. He sues Marbury versus Madison, and he claims that he should get his judgeship anyway. It should have been awarded to him. In the court case, the man who argued the case was a brilliant legal strategist. I'm not a lawyer. I won't go into the details. But basically, out of that court case came the principle. It's actually not a principle, but the belief that the judiciary should be able to second-guess the legislature. The idea that they can come back and say, wait a minute, the legislature passed this law, but this law is unconstitutional. Therefore, it cannot be allowed. They strike down the law. Okay? Now, after 1803, no one enforced that belief. It's not a belief, it's not really a principle. It took like 50 years before the first time it was ever even cited. I think it was over 50 years, okay? So no one was using it. It didn't really change U.S. law at all. It took 50 years or so before people started saying, hey, let's do this. And so they would do that. Now, let's back. Okay, so that is the basis for judicial review. But let's back up a little bit and look at the Constitution. The U.S. Constitution is supposed to be the supreme law of the land. That's what it's supposed to be, the law that governs all the other lawmaking in the United States. And what happens in that is that the citizens of the U.S. elect representatives. And then out of that election, they are the ones who then write the laws. Just a moment here. I'm trying to get to a particular web page here. There. Okay. So the citizens are the ones supposed to elect every 2, 4, and 6 years. So we have elections, right? Congressmen every 2 years. Senators every 6 years, the president, vice president every 4 years, right? Okay, we know that. So then, the Constitution starts with, there's three main sections that it, to tell about the three main sections, three main parts of the U.S. government. Article 1, Section 1 starts with this. Okay, so this is the beginning, right after the preamble, you know, saying that this is the Constitution of the United States, this shall be the supreme law of the land. It says, all legislative powers granted herein shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Period. That's the end. Then it goes on to Section 2, and it begins delineating the information about how the House is to be comprised, how the Senate is to be comprised, how the elections are to take place, things like that. Okay? All legislative powers. That means all lawmaking powers. Okay, now the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, except where it's been amended. Now, immediately at the time of the ratification of the Constitution, we're talking about the 1780s, 1787. We're going into a break, folks. Okay, hold that thought. We'll continue with this. You're listening to the Smart Hour. This is Paul Abramson. Please stay tuned after these messages. Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Smart Hour. This is your host, Paul Abramson, editor of creationism.org. Thank you for tuning in today. It is Tuesday, June 19, 2007, just before the break, I was talking about the U.S. Constitution. So what happened is you had 13 countries on the east coast of the United States, what is now the United States, spanning across the continent. You had 13 individual countries, 13 states. A state is a country. They're originally organized under an Articles of Confederation, actually is what it was called, 1781. That wasn't working. It wasn't strong enough, and so the Constitutional Congress was called out of that. In the summer of 1787, out of that, they produced this new Constitution. It was ratified along with what was called the Bill of Rights, which was essentially the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And those 10 amendments were like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom, the right to keep and bear arms, things like that. Because people wanted those guaranteed. You know, the Constitution was a good document, but hey, let's guarantee the rights of the citizens. Okay? Well, of course, those guarantees are only as good as how it's all enforced over time. Each generation makes the decision. Now, today there are 27 amendments to the Constitution altogether. Not a single one of those amendments in any way says that lawmaking powers has transferred from the legislature to the judiciary. As a matter of fact, historically speaking, the U.S. Supreme Court, it was the Supreme Court, but it wasn't that powerful. It was actually down in the basement of the Senate building for over 100 years. It was a nice place, but it was down in the basement, down below. I believe it was in the Senate, not in the House. I've been in the room before. That's where it was housed, I think, until like the 1930s. So for like 140 years, that's where the Supreme Court met, or at least that's where they met until the 1930s. They got their own building across the street, just to the east of the main Capitol building. But over time, people have believed, it's like we've kind of fallen into the custom of believing that in judicial review, in other words, that the final arbiter, the final say of whether or not a law is legal in the land is not the legislature, which is what the Constitution says, but the courts and even the Supreme Court saying that is unconstitutional. But that's not what the Constitution says to do. What the Constitution teaches is citizen review. If we don't like what our lawmakers do, let's say they pass an immigration bill that leaves our borders wide open and brings in, say, they're saying it's 12 million. It's actually closer to 20 million people. They're not being honest, just like the media is never, when are they ever honest, right? And so they say, oh, it's only like 12 million people. Well, back in the 80s, under Reagan, unfortunately, 1986, they did give amnesty, but it was like to 3 million. Well, people are quick learners. Boy, if we get in America, even if illegally, and then just be there for a while, maybe we'll eventually be citizens. And so now, so the left-wingers are saying, oh, it's about 12 million. It's not. It's actually 20 million is what it is. They're not being, and then you got the chain migration after that. Okay, now that's a particular issue. That's on the side, or it's not germane exactly what we're talking about today. But what I mean to be saying here is that our system, we're losing control of it, and some of it we can take control back over again. I believe, three main points that I think if we did these three things, it would catalyze or change America back. It would turn the ship of state back upright again. First thing is get honest news. I'll be brief about this because I want to concentrate on judicial review as the main point. First thing is you and I have to stop. If you're subscribing to a newspaper where they're spending, they have a left-wing bias, and on a daily basis they're lying to you, stop your subscription. If you're subscribing to news magazines, and on a weekly or a monthly basis they're lying to you, end your subscription. Either get it for free at the library or at a donut shop, right, look at the newspaper, or read something else in the morning, right, or on Sundays, right? Or maybe there's some people who subscribe to the Sunday paper because they want to get the coupons, something like that, right? Okay, but what I'm saying is stop. We need to, as little as possible, we need to stop empowering them to deceive and to hurt us on a daily basis. That's the first step, I think, is to get out of deception. Second step is that we've got to get our kids out of being deceived, and that means that who should have the final say on how our children are educated? Should it be the state or bureaucrats or a school board somewhere, or should it be the parents? God does not give children to countries. God gives children to parents. I believe in a woman's right to choose. Don't you? I believe in a woman's right to choose the education for her children. Ha! Got you there, didn't I? Isn't that what they say? We think someone should have the right to choose. Well, they have a double standard there. Because the way they use that phrase, a woman's right to choose, means, I'm going to be blunt here, means they have the right to kill their own child, right? I mean, that's blunt, that's what it means. But do those same people then think that you have the right, that the woman and the man have the right to educate, how their children should be educated? They don't, do they? What is it that they have the right to? We have in America today a culture war between the culture of life and the culture of death. Our side, the good guys, what we want is individual freedom. Your rights stop where my nose starts. Have you ever heard that before? Your rights stop where my nose starts, okay? So you can do what you want to do until you're hurting another person. Well, of course, abortion is killing another person. You have a 50% mortality rate. There's an article on Drudge Report this morning that's one of the news organizations that would recommend, hey, take a look at what Matt Drudge puts out. That's Drudge Report, D-R-U-D-G-E-R-E-P-O-R-T, Drudge Report, D-R-U-D-G-E-Report.com. So a couple of excellent ones on the Internet is WorldNet Daily, WND.com, WorldNet Daily, WorldNetDaily.com. There's actually several of them out there. That's a couple of good places. Fox News on the Internet is good, and also, I would contend. No news source is perfect. They're all imperfect. You know why? Because they're run by people. But what's their bias? All of us have a bias. Now, okay, except for me. If you've listened to this program very long, then you know that I'm the only person in the whole world who's completely objective, right? I mean, just ask me, I'll tell you, okay? Okay. So we're all partially biased. We all have things that are important or less important to us. I believe that the judicial review is, okay, there's three things. One is get honest news. If you're not getting honest news, you're being deceived on a daily basis. There's no hope for us. We're going to keep losing. Okay, so that's the first step. Second is we need to start rescuing our children. They're young. They don't know what reality is yet. They're being taught stupid stuff like this global warming. And these people believe it. The adults believe it. The left-wingers believe it. It's not true. There's a video that's going to come out in July called The Great Global Warming Swindle. It's out unofficially right now. There are, you could say, bootleg copies out there, but it is an excellent video, okay? The Great Global Warming Swindle out of England. And you'll want to see it, okay? It's coming out in July. I don't know why it's taken us so long. It wouldn't have taken me that long to edit it. But it's very important, and it shows the truth. One of the people on that video is one of the co-founders of Greenpeace. And he's not against the environment. He's for the environment. But he's also for honesty. The global warming crowd has become kind of an industry, an anti-capitalist, anti-industry, anti-business industry. There's a certain number of people out there who are anti-business, right? Remember the Marxists, 1980s, 1970s? Oh, we hate America, we hate normalcy, we hate people having, hot water in their homes. That was their way of thinking, right? That wasn't the words they said, but what was it they were against? They were against human rights, right? They were against people improving their life, and these global warming guys are the same way. They're badgering us and saying, oh, you need to reduce your carbon emissions. Well, they're hurting the developing world much more. There are places in the world that don't have electricity yet. These guys want to, block them from getting electricity. Anyway, it's a long story. Maybe I'll talk about that one of these days. I've talked about global warming before. I'll just mention one more thing. Do a web search sometime on global warming new ice age. Okay? Global warming new ice age. If you want a good laugh. Okay? Because there are actually serious people, they think they're being serious, who are saying that global warming can produce a new ice age. Anyway, it's just like, what? And we remember, of course, that 35 years ago, when trends, not due to carbon emissions, that has nothing to do with it, but due to sunspot activity, that's what causes the weather much more than anything we're doing with cars and stuff, that sunspot changes is what, anyway, the world had been cooling for a few decades before that. And so, anyway, they got themselves all worked up, the alarmists do, and so, okay, we'll talk about that some other time. Okay, so step one, get real news. Step two, we need to start rescuing our kids to get them out of this, this weirdness, the deceptions they're being taught. I have a friend who has two daughters in the San Francisco public school system. And you know when they start the gay pride type stuff? You know what age they start at? It's not sixth grade. It's earlier than that. Okay, these are children. We're talking grade school children. They start before the sixth grade with having once a year a gay pride day. Let's talk about how wonderful it is to be gay. Yay! Doesn't that sound like fun, boys and girls? Let's talk about this. What on earth is going on? The parents are gone. The wolves are savaging the souls of the lambs. That's my terms. This is my opinion. Okay? We're turning our children over, and these ultra-left-wingers then say, thank you. Thank you very much for giving us trust over your children. Now we will begin to teach them. They start before the sixth grade. In fact, they start before the fourth grade. They start the gay pride day before the child is in the third grade. We're talking 8 years old, 8 and 9 years old. You know when they start in the San Francisco public schools? They take your tax dollars and they start in the first grade. the wolves ravaging the souls of the lambs. Now, the parents do have an opt-out, but it's not fair. For some things, they do opt-in. For some things, they do opt-out. For things the left-wingers don't like, they'll do, oh, well, we have to do this, or the parents will get too crazy. And so they'll do an opt-in. You know, you have to get a permission to go to something. For things, their left-wing agenda, their culture of death agenda, wanting to destroy America, okay, right? Right? Isn't that what the culture of death wants? Right? They're not telling us about the things that are important. Like I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, EMPs. Do you remember back in the 80s? For those of you who are old enough, back in the 80s they used to talk about abortion as a birth control method. Do you remember that? Until AIDS came along, then all of a sudden they stopped talking about that. Now they still believe that, but then immediately they stopped talking about that, that connection between AIDS and responsibility, irresponsibility, and abortion, non-abortion. They immediately broke that link and stopped saying that. But anyway, that's just for those who have enough historical knowledge of those times and stuff. Okay, so part three. Okay, first, correct news. Two, we got to get our kids out from being deceived, too, or we're going to lose the... So any one of these three, we can lose the country, okay? First one, we're not getting quality news. We can change that. You can change that by canceling your subscription or not renewing it, right? And get a good one instead. Here's a couple of good magazines. One is called Whistleblower. Whistleblower magazine is published by WorldNet Daily, that I mentioned before. There's another good one called World Magazine. It's very good. I don't remember who publishes that offhand. World Magazine. And there's some other ones. Did you ever read the editorials on nationalreview.com? Go out to their webpage sometime. Man, excellent editorials. I go out there about once a week and read a few of the editorials during the lunch hour and kind of scan what are they talking about, what are they saying and stuff. And often there's very good ideas I hadn't thought about that, oh, now that's very interesting. And so you read some really good editorials. They make them available. And their magazine is even better because they're other good stuff. Economist magazine is often very good, but not... Anyway, no news source is perfect. Another good one is American Spectator, not very well known. Emmett Tyrell. The American Spectator, excellent magazine. Okay, so, judicial review. So, the U.S. Constitution was set up so that we have the ability to review the lawmakers themselves. We don't like what they're doing every 2, 4, and 6 years. We then can throw the bums out. We usually don't do that, but we can. So, the way the Constitution is set up is citizen review. That is what's normal, that is what's expected, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. Tragically, we've been in kind of a fog, a mental fog, for a long time. And we've believed, well, gee, judicial review's been here for a long time, maybe it's okay, and gee, they got Marbury versus Madison. No. Do you swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States? Right? Do you swear or affirm to uphold the Constitution of the United States? Yes. Okay. What is the supreme law of the land? Not Marbury versus Madison. It is the Constitution, and the Constitution as amended by the now 27 amendments. Lawmaking powers is supposed to be the legislative, not the judicial. So when let's take a hypothetical case. Okay, so the judges say, I'm going to use a hypothetical case. Let's say that the Ninth Circuit Court, we'll just take it out of a hat. Okay, let's just say it's the Ninth Circuit Court. They make a decision. Okay, we have determined after resolved deliberation and our cumulative wisdom, that's us, very wise people here in the Ninth Circuit Court. Okay, we've decided that from now on, all dogs should not be on leashes. That is just a horrible thing to have dogs on leashes, but all children should be on leashes, and to not do this is unconstitutional. And then we as a people, and you've heard crazy decisions, I'm using a hypothetical example, but you heard crazy decisions where they say, oh, that's unconstitutional. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Just a moment. Father, please help them to understand. Please, Lord, help them to understand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They're using a magic word. That's what it means. They're using a magic word like abracadabra or alakazam or shazam or open sesame. They're saying, we think overriding your elected legislators, your elected officials who made the laws, we think our opinion is above theirs. And we go, what, you're nuts. You're not lawmakers. And then they say, unconstitutional to not do. We say, oh, darn. They use the magic word. I guess that's law now. Darn. In 1973, there was almost no place in the United States where abortion was legal. Because at the state legislature, national legislature, no one wanted to approve the killing of infants. Okay, I know I'm using direct language. Well, we should do that. There are actually more children who are killed on a daily basis in America, it's over 4,000, than were killed at the one time on 9/11. 9/11, I can't remember, 3,200 or 3,300 people who were killed that day. We go, oh, this is horrific. Well, look at how many children, unborn children, are being killed each day in abortion clinics. On a daily basis, it is actually higher. But the left-wing media doesn't talk about that. Do you remember the 25th anniversary of Watergate? Man, that was a big one, wasn't it? Wasn't the media talking about that for months there? Remember the 25th anniversary? You don't? Isn't that because it was 1998? Remember, it was 1973 when Nixon was going down, 1973-74. Folks, we're going into a break. Please stay tuned. I want to talk more about these things. You're listening to Smart Hour. Please stay tuned after these messages. Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Smart Hour. Thank you for tuning in today. It is Tuesday, June 19, 2007. This is your host, Paul Abramson, editor of creationism.org. On creationism.org, we have lots of free information, about 350 articles that can be downloaded, information in, I think, over 40 languages now, usually two, three, or four articles per language, and actually some books in some of the major languages available for most of them for free to be downloaded. You can use them in classes, use them for any educational purpose. About 30 books online, MP3 files, video files. We link to about 120 other creation websites. Lots of information. Please use it. If you know, if you have international friends, international students, or people overseas, well, you can tell them about good science information that also supports the Bible, available on creationism.org. Okay? So today, talking about judicial review. So 1998 was the 25th anniversary of Watergate. The media didn't say a word, did they? You don't remember it, right? Well, of course not. Bill Clinton was going through impeachment, although unlike Nixon, Bill Clinton didn't resign, and unlike Nixon, Bill Clinton actually was impeached, technically. He was impeached by the House of Representatives, and then 51 senators voted for his impeachment for him to be thrown out of office. It wasn't enough to get him thrown out of office, but this was back in 1998, right? And they kept saying it was a sex scandal. That had nothing to do with it. It wasn't a sex scandal, it was perjury. Anyway, on a daily basis, the media is lying to us. Stop helping them to deceive us. We are losing, the good guys, the culture of life, we are losing the culture war, and we're going to continue losing as long as we allow ourselves to be deceived on a daily basis. We've got to stop that. That means getting honest news. You don't have to listen to lots of news, but change your sources. Secondly, that starts with us. It's like you're in an airplane. Put your own mask on first, then help the person next to you, right? We've got to start doing it. Many times in the New Testament, it tells us, we are warned several times, that in the last days there will be lots of deceptions. There are many of them all around us. Evolution is one of them. That's what we often talk about in this program, that, hey, there's still no scientific evidence supporting evolution. And yet it is swaying the world. Babel is reversing. We are seeing the world system come back together. Babel is reversing in the last few generations and into the future. The world banking systems, world finance, world industry. There are automobiles being produced in the United States. I'll just take one example, where you can have an automobile that may have parts, may have components within it from four different continents making one manufactured machine. I find that just stunning. It could be, let's say, for example, a Japanese or a Korean automaker has a plant within the U.S. With European investors, right? Some of the shareholders, right? I mean, it's just kind of stunning how the world has shrunk. You think about any time you go to one of the mega stores, one of the huge shopping stores, how many of the things you're buying are from Malaysia or China or Mexico, Brazil, or Peru or something like that? I mean, it's just the world market. Babel is reversing. The world's coming back together. That is happening on an economic front. That is happening in governmental fronts, and it's happening in religion. And the way that it's happening in religion is to firstly prepare a foundation that all the false religions can agree on. E-V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. Millions of years, millions and millions, mythians and mythians of years ago, once upon a time. Evolution then helps to provide that foundation. The Buddhists have no problems with it. Many Catholics have no problems with it. Mormons, many Mormons have no problems with it. Shintoists, Hindus, atheists, well, atheists, of course, need evolution. Karl Marx read Darwin's book, Charles, they were contemporaries, they lived at the same time. He read it twice in 1 year. Karl Marx, he would not have been able to establish atheism in Russia except for Charles Darwin's book and then providing that foundation. So you provide a foundation, other things can become possible mentally within people. Anyway, world religions are slowly being re-coalesced together. In the end, there will only be two religions, Bible-believing Christianity, well, Christianity with Judaism because, anyway, that's a long story. We won't get into that. But this Daniel's 70th week will come to pass. We are the world is changing to that. That is beginning to happen now. Daniel's 70th week, the 70-week prophecy of Daniel. Amen. There will be two religions, Bible-believing and everyone else. And, of course, everyone else will think that they are right. How can you guys believe the Bible? Everybody knows it's filled with deceptions. It's not true. It's just amazing because it's the opposite of the case. The world now is being filled with deceptions. Evolution, for those of you who know creation theory, is one of those deceptions. Global warming is another one of those deceptions. And they're abounding. Let me read you a few verses from the New Testament. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, in three of the four Gospels, we have an account recorded where they're asking, you know, what will be the sign of your coming when you come back, to the sign of the end? In all three accounts, in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, Jesus starts with the same phraseology, which I kind of suddenly noticed, I guess it was a month and a half ago one day, and I was like, wow, I've never heard this preached on. And so I started thinking about it, meditating, praying about it, and started telling other people. Let's talk about this. Matthew 24:4 says, and Jesus answered unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The same account in Mark 13:5. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Luke 21:8. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. The very first thing Jesus says in all three accounts as is recorded is, don't be deceived. Take heed that you're not deceived. Meaning that they were susceptible to be deceived, and we are too. Okay? So the believers at the end, which is coming to now. And so we're being deceived around us. Within America, one deception is judicial review. It's not based on the Constitution. So we need to, as thinking people who, as we break out of deceptions, we need to say, wait a minute, we need to prepare this. We need to get rid of this. It's unconstitutional for them to say unconstitutional. Right? Citizen review is what the Constitution provides for. We pick our representatives, our legislators, and they then make the laws. The judiciary does not have the right to arbitrarily say, we've decided this is unconstitutional. No, they don't have that right. It's not in the Constitution. It's not in the amendments. Therefore, those judges that do that, technically they should be impeached. They're exceeding their authority. Right? Right? If I'm wrong, show me in the Constitution or in the amendments. Otherwise, I'm not interested in Marbury versus Madison. That's a court case that President Jefferson at the time did not uphold. He actually ignored it. He didn't fulfill what the court ordered him to do in Marbury versus Madison. So if he ignored it in the first place, I mean, it just didn't take place. It's not important. Okay? Unfortunately, by custom, people are letting their traditions get ahead of the written word. Where have we heard that before? Okay, let me tell you some other things here. Give you some other verses from the New Testament. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. Have you ever deceived yourself? I have sometimes. Hey, you're a pretty neat guy. I am? You know, actually I am, as I think about it. You can deceive yourself in either direction. You can deceive yourself into thinking you're somebody really special or into thinking you're too low. No, we don't want to do that, okay? We don't do that. Be prayerful, of course, obviously. But anyway, but it is possible for someone to deceive him or herself, right? Anyway, here's 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Here's another one. Romans 16:18. Let's see. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, some of false teachers, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. People can be deceived. There are reasons why believers are called sheep. We sometimes follow when we shouldn't, follow the wrong people. We have to be very careful. We have to discern. We have to look to see, you know, which is true, which is the true vine. What are the true voices? We need to discern between the spirits. Okay? Let's see. 1 Corinthians 6:9a. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ephesians 4:14b, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 5:6a, let no man deceive you with vain words. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Got three more here. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. What does that say? Except there coming a falling away? A falling away from the faith? I don't want to be one of those people, folks. That means we need to keep ourselves from being deceived now. And we need to pray, Father, please don't let me be deceived. And in those areas of life where you know you're being deceived, take a little bit of effort and get corrected. If you realize, wait a minute, this evolution doesn't seem to have worked at all, we'll get some good teaching. Okay? Creationism.org is one resource. I'll give you another. DrDino.com. Dr. Ken Hovind's seminars. He's got, in my opinion, the best seminar series there is. DrDino.com. DrDino.com. Actually, the program following this one, in about 10 minutes from now, you don't want to miss that, is The Best of Dr. Ken Hovind. It is a pre-recorded program. You will hear callers. You may even hear a phone number stated on the program. Don't try to call in. It is a pre-recorded program, but Dr. Ken Hovind has excellent answers to skeptics that the Bible can't be true. It just can't be. And so they want to stand against the Word of God no matter what. That's what the skeptics are doing. They want to pretend that, what do they call it? Higher criticism. It's not higher criticism. It's lower nature. That's what they got going on. Okay, I got two more verses here to read to you. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Again, that thing of deception, deceiving ourselves, of someone else deceiving us. Don't be deceived. Last one, 1 John 3:7a. Little children, let no man deceive you. Folks, we are beings who are subject to deceptions. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, were deceived by the serpent. It said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Isn't that what it says? The deceptions in today's modern media and in the schools and with the courts asserting their control over the lawmaking process, these are subtle deceptions. And what they add up to, though, is the end of our republic if we don't stop it. If we don't say, wait a minute, I'm going to get honest news and I'm going to encourage other people to get honest news. So when you're in your workplace and people say, man, did you hear about the such and such in the news? You can be the one to say, well, there's more to that story. Did you hear this part of the story? Because you're getting honest news. Or your children. It's not just enough that our kids are homeschooled, okay, that our kids are protected. You see, because the problem is that if the bad guys, the culture of death people, if they're teaching over half of the other kids, then 10 years from now, those teens have been taught survival of the meanest, survival of the most deceitful. The strong shall survive. The weak need to be subjugated, need to be enslaved and taken over. Take their lunch money. Bullies are smart people. I'm giving you shortcuts, but isn't that what evolution teaches? What are they being taught in the schools? You know how much violence is in the public schools today? It's horrible. And they got a monopoly. Anyway, I've got a go to Google video if you're interested, or an MP3 file, and you can listen to a talk I gave a couple of weeks ago. If you want more information on this, what I think needs to happen. The title is Rescuing America, Restoring Normalcy, and Winning the Culture War. Again, my name is Paul Abramson, A-B-R-A-M-S-O-N. Rescuing America, Restoring Normalcy, and Winning the Culture War. There's also an MP3 file, so you can either look through the Google video or the MP3 file. I got it on creationism.org. And in the MP3 section, of course, about halfway down, you find the MP3. Download it if you want. Listen to it. Share it with friends. It's free. I don't know. I've been bouncing this idea around for over a year, probably about a year and a half now. And I kind of had a codified about a year ago, but it seems like, well, okay. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in today. I hope today's program has been interesting. This has been the Smart Hour. God bless you. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow.